Good morning. You guys got to do better than that. Good morning. All right. Very good. Use your outdoor voices, please. So good to see you all. Welcome to Grace Lutheran Church of Erhard, Minnesota. We're so happy to have you join us for this Sunday, July 26th. I wish it was June 26th, but it's July. Summer's just moving right along on us. So we're glad to see you here. We, of course, invite you back next Sunday, same time, same location, as we, this is just kind of our new normal, and it's a pretty good normal. You guys are all liking this outdoor worship stuff, so we're going to have to keep doing this in the summers that are to come. Not every Sunday, but we'll have our special outdoor services, and of course, knowing Grace, there'll be a food segment to that too, so we'll have a picnic. Of course, bring a lawn chair, or we've got chairs for you. You can park up close. Can you all hear me over there in the cars? They're too polite to honk, but I got a thumbs up, so. Okay. And if it rains, we plan on moving into the sanctuary. And so that's your call. If you want to, if it's raining next Sunday or in the Sundays to come and you want to come into the sanctuary, that's your call. We're hoping to add an FM transmitter here, and that's our plan for when we do have to move inside because of weather, that we will have a bit of a hybrid service. We'll have some of you that will just want to come into the sanctuary and spread out, and that's cool. We'll have some of you who maybe want to stay home, and it'll be live streamed again. So we'll, you know, we continue to put our services every Sunday on our Facebook page and on our website. And then we're going to add that FM transmitter. So when it gets cold and you still want to come to church, but you don't want to come inside, you don't want to mess with a DVD player, or you don't want to live stream it, come to the parking lot, turn your radio on, and you can listen to the service and maybe do what you're doing now, roll down your window and talk to your friends. So we've got you covered. So we're just working with what we can. So today we continue to anchor ourselves in the splendid reality that our Lord has brought to us in his forgiveness of all of our sins and in his presence with us through his resurrection. We open our service today in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is the first two verses from Psalm 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. Let us pray. We thank you for your presence with us, Lord, and we pray for the suffering. Lord, we pray as comforter of the sorrowing and strength of the weak, we pray that you would hear our prayers for all those who are experiencing difficulty during this time of turmoil and distress. We ask, Lord, whatever their needs, they may look to you in faith and receive and know your help and comfort. And we pray for your blessing today upon our service. I thank you for everyone who's here. I pray your blessing upon them, and we ask for you now to dwell in our midst. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Well, today we're working out of the blue hymnal, so we're going to begin by turning in our hymnals to 781, 781, My Life Flows On in Endless Song, 781.
My life flows on in endless song, above earth's lamentation. I catch the sweet, though far off, hymn that hails a new creation. No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? Through all the tumult and the strife, I hear that music ringing. It finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing? What though my joys and comforts die, the Lord my Savior liveth. What though the darkness gather round, songs in the night he giveth. No storm can take my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, what peace I keep from singing. The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever singing. All things are mine since I am His. How can I keep from singing? No storm can shake my inmost calm, while to that rock I'm clinging. Since Christ is Lord of heaven and earth, how can I keep from singing?
The peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever singing. There's a great way to connect with that peace of Christ, and we're going to do that right now as we turn in our hymnals to page 56, and we anchor ourselves in the peace of Christ as we confess our sins to our Lord and hear Him absolve us and forgive us once again. Let's do this together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God's promise to us from 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 through 9. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's lean into God's promise to us this morning together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's confess together our Christian faith as it's summarized in the Apostles' Creed, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship. Christians all over the planet have recited this creed for some 1,700 years, and let's connect with its truth right now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And God's peace be to each and every one of you. For our time of scriptures and prayers, we turn first of all to the Old Testament reading for this eighth Sunday after Pentecost, Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. Now, many of you know in my former life I taught Old Testament at the seminary, and this passage is actually known as the John 3:16 of the Old Testament. So you might want to perk your ears up. This is a good one. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 6 through 9. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. Out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth, it was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. The word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39, Paul's triumphant declaration to us of the hope of our glory and how that shrinks our present suffering. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. We pray for guidance. O Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as not yet trod, and through perils still unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our society. Grant, O Lord God, that your holy and life-giving spirit may move every heart in the midst of our society's current unrest. May the barriers which divide us crumble. May our suspicions disappear and hatred cease. And that, with our divisions healed, we might live in justice and peace for all. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for help in this pandemic. Keep watch, dear Lord, over those who work or watch or weep, and give your angels charge over those who sleep. Tend the sick, Lord Christ. Give rest to the weary. Bless the dying. Soothe the suffering. Pity the afflicted. And be our ever-present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And as we do every Sunday, we pray for the persecuted church. We pray for the persecuted church, O Lord. We ask your mercy for your persecuted church who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for the sake of your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
I'd like to invite you to turn once again in your blue hymnal to page number 716. We'll be singing Word of God, Come Down to Earth, as we prepare to hear the message that is prepared for us by Pastor Brad from the Word of God.
Come down on earth, living rain from heaven descending. Touch our hearts and bring to birth faith and hope and love unending. Word Almighty, we revere you. Word made flesh, we long to blind eyes to see, speak and heal our mortal blindness.
Death,
we are our healer, be. Loose our tongues to tell your kindness. Be our word in pity spoken, heal the world by our sin. God's tender love, one with God beyond all telling. Word that sends us from above, God the Spirit with us dwelling. Word of truth to all truth lead us, word of life with one breath feed us.
I really love that hymn, don't you? It is just so pleasant to sing that. It kind of fits for this situation. It fits for communion. It fits for a baptism. God's word indeed has come down to us in the person of his Son, and he comes through his word and sacrament to us to meet us in our present reality. And as we prepare to hear him speak to us from his word, let's pause for a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you that you have come down to us in the pages of Scripture. You have incarnated yourself to us in human language. And we ask now, as we hear your word, that your Spirit would open up our hearts and minds to receive what you have for us. We ask this in your wonderful and powerful name. Amen. Well, I think we've all done it. We've all dreamed of what it would be like to win the lottery. Wouldn't that be awesome? To win big? It would solve so many of our problems, release us from so much financial worry. Why, we would just finally be able to relax once in our lives and not stress over bills and payments and everything else. Although we're not particularly inclined to pay attention to the warnings, we've probably all heard something about the dangers that can come to a person's character and relationships when suddenly inundated with a massive amount of wealth. We just kind of go like this when we hear that. La, 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 la. I don't want to hear that. I would be different. Maybe it wouldn't be such a bad thing, as Tevye sang in Fiddler on the Roof, if I were a wealthy man. We might just say in response to such warnings, maybe we would just like to try it out, maybe. I think I might bend the curve on that one. I'll take the chance. Or in the words of the American humorist Mark Twain, we might say, I'm opposed to millionaires, but it would be dangerous to offer me the position. However, we might want to take such warnings a bit more seriously when we hear the hard data on it. Statistics put forth by Michael Bagan and Darrell LePage, financial experts who've made an extensive study of lottery winners, have said this. The reality is that 70% of lottery winners will squander away their winnings in a few years. In the process, they will see family and friendships destroyed, and the financial security they hope for disappear. In fact, the statistics show that lottery winners often go bankrupt, get divorced, and have family feuds. Ouch. Take a look in the mirror. It's human nature. Bagan and LePage go on to say that winning a bunch of money doesn't build character, but, quote, money reveals character and magnifies all the good and weak traits that the winners live by. Ouch again. Like the old proverb, the real measure of your wealth is how much you'd be worth if you lost all your money. Today in our gospel text, we will see Jesus describe for us the value of being part of his eternal kingdom. In a series of comparisons, he will teach us that the value of knowing him as our heavenly King and being included in his kingdom is of much greater value than anything else that affects us in the here and now. But this change that this kingdom and inclusion bring to our lives can happen to us when we come before him as our heavenly King. He changes us only for the better by his riches, the treasure that changes us. The gospel text for this 8th Sunday after Pentecost, Matthew chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. A series of parables. The parables of the treasure and the pearl. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all he had and bought that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The parable of the net and the fish. Once again, The kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up on the shore, and they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets and threw the bad away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked and the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The parable of the homeowner. Have you understood all these things? Jesus asked. Yes, they replied. He said to them, therefore, every scribe who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. The word of the Lord. Wow. Four parables in one text. The parables of the treasure and the pearl, first two, the third one, the great parable of the great net, and the final parable, the parable of the homeowner. But there's a common thread to all four of these parables. That's why they're listed together in the lectionary today. The kingdom of heaven is like. You see, in the same way that we would examine a precious jewel, looking at it from all kinds of different angles to see the facets that are in there, these four parables of Jesus invite us to look at the great treasure of the kingdom from different perspectives. And so we're going to do that today. First of all, Jesus' kingdom, we see in the first two parables, changes our values. It brings change to our lives. The farmer and the treasure, and the merchant and the fine pearl. Of course, we hear in the first parable, when the farmer found that treasure, he went and sold all that he had so that he could buy that field. And then, of course, the pearl merchant, when he found that one pearl of a lifetime, the one he'd never seen before, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. There's a value shift here that we see brought to us in these two parables. As Frederick Bruner says, here in our parables, no one, in fact, tells the farmer or the merchant to do anything. No one's saying, oh, you should do this, or you should do this. The treasure is what tells them what to do. When they find that treasure, they know what they have to do. They've been spoken to by the surpassing value of this one great thing. Let's apply that. You see, Jesus is of such surpassing value. What is he saying to me today? About my family? About my time and resources? About my relationships? Am I putting things in perspective in terms of the value of knowing him and being a part of his eternal kingdom? What is he saying to me? Am I listening? The second point we want to make, drawn from the third parable of the fish in the net, is that Jesus' kingdom changes my view of time. When I encounter Jesus and his eternal kingdom, there's a perspective that's brought to me in terms of time. I now look at my present reality against the backdrop of eternity. The fishermen pulled up that great net on shore. They sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, and then they threw the bad away. And then Jesus drops this on us. He says, so it's going to be at the end of the age, which is the beginning of the eternal age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous. So we see the time here, the end of this age, the beginning of the next. And in this parable, we need to ask the question, who are the righteous? Don't we want to know that? We want to be the good fish, right? Well, the Apostle Paul answers this question in this way from Romans chapter 5. For if by the trespass of the one man, Adam, death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign through the life of the one man, Jesus Christ. You see, through the obedience of the one man, Jesus Christ, the many will be made righteous. The word of the Lord. Paul points us to Jesus Christ and says, look, you are made righteous in Christ. This is how you become righteous, is by receiving the righteousness of Jesus Christ for you, the forgiveness of all of your sins, and Him putting the robe of your righteousness over you. It's all about Jesus. So let's apply this. What is the gift of Jesus' righteousness given to you in the cross saying to you today? What does it say to you about your past? Sins of the past are gone. They do not define me anymore. What does this say about my future? Well, I have true hope. I have sure confidence that when I close my eyes and breathe my last breath, it will not be my righteousness that matters for anything. It will be Jesus' righteousness that covers me and ushers me into the presence of the Heavenly Father. Finally, what does it say to me about my present? What does this mean to me in the now? That I can walk free. That I can live, as Helmut Thielicke says, beneath an open heaven. God is my friend. He is for me. He is not against me. He only relates to me as a loving father now. Remember that the next time you encounter difficulty. God is for you. Without a doubt. Am I listening? The final point comes out of the last parable, and that's Jesus' kingdom changes my priorities. The parable of the homeowner. In many ways, our fourth parable is cumulative, kind of summarizing and tying a bow on all of the other parables, calling us to action, action based on the truths put forth by all of these parables. Every scribe who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. Notice here that Jesus uses the word scribe to describe us as we hear this parable. Now, a scribe was a teacher of the scriptures. Jesus is here calling us, his disciples, to share the treasures of God's promises as homeowners share things with their guests. Now, I've visited many of you in years past. I've been here 10 years now. And some of you, whenever I come to visit you, the coffee pot goes on and the cookies come out. That's just your thing. It's part of your culture. It's natural for us to want to share, to provide for guests. Jesus is no different. He calls us to share His bounty, His treasure with others. So what is the treasure room of God's promises saying to you? What is it saying to me? I have all of these promises of God that are so beautiful and so comforting. If I'm going to share cookies, will I share that? How valuable is the Bible to me? Yes, it brings comfort to me, but is it worth sharing? What does it say about my life's purpose? What does it say to me about the people I encounter? Am I listening? All in all, Jesus is telling us through this last parable, as kind of the conclusion to everything He said up to this point, that His kingdom frees us to be givers rather than just takers. I'm reminded of what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6. Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured out to you. Jesus says, go ahead, give it away. I'm just going to give you all the more. The bottom line for us today is to realize that we are the ones that are changed by Jesus' kingdom. I'm reminded of what Jesus says in John 8. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Today, as you have heard of the value, the surpassing value of Jesus' kingdom given to you as a gift in his death and resurrection, may the treasure of belonging to him, the treasure of his kingdom, tell you everything you need to do. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, through faith in you and this good news, all my sins have been forgiven, and I've been given the gift of your perfect righteousness. God has already declared me righteous in his sight. He cannot love me more than he does today. He will never love me less. Because of your work for me, Jesus, God now loves me as much as he loves you, for he's hidden my life in yours. Jesus, I can no more change myself than I could have ever begun a relationship with you on my own. So keep pressing this gospel into my heart. I need to hear it every day. I pray this in your priceless name. Amen.
Wonderful Savior, my heart belongs to thee. I will remember always the blood you shed for me. Wonderful Savior, will know your word, so I will embrace you always as I walk this earth. Be blessed, be loved, be lifted high, be treasured here, be glorified. I owe my life to you, my Lord. Here I am. Beautiful Jesus, how may I bless your heart? Knees to the earth I bow down, worth. So let me embrace you all. Oh, here I am. Here I am. Knees to the earth. Here I am.
We can sing that hymn because he welcomes us with open arms and covers us with the robes of his perfect righteousness. He invites us also to pray. Let's do that right now. Gracious Lord, we praise you today, not only for this beautiful weather that you've granted us to be outside and worship you, but we also praise you for your righteousness, that you indeed have granted us the forgiveness of all of our sins and the hope of eternal life. What a great gift for sinners. But you have made it so. Grant us faith to simply receive your gift. Lord, we pray for those who are suffering during this time. We ask, Lord, whatever the cause of this suffering, whether it be pandemic-related or just life-related, hardships that we encounter in life, Lord, we ask that you would make yourself known to everyone, not only for our friends and family and people in our society, but to those who are here right now, Lord. Come to us in our turmoil. Grant us the peace of your presence with us, the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our society during this time of pandemic. We pray that you would watch over the healthcare workers who put themselves in harm's way every day and then go home to their families. We pray, Lord, for safety and protection. We pray also for those who make it possible for us to buy groceries and gasoline and our medications, Lord, who are working retail and serving us, Lord. Watch over them too. Lord, we pray especially for those who are compromised in any way with a previous medical condition. Watch over them, Lord, and keep them safe. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you, knowing that even if we don't know how to pray, you intercede for us. We pray now. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Before we turn to our closing hymn, I'm going to apologize in advance for putting my sweet family on the spot over in the corner, but I'm going to try not to cry, but even this morning, you asked me how my sister is doing, and she and my sister Melissa and her husband Kyle and Matea, who you've seen quite a bit, are here this morning. So they're right over there, and I know I can speak for them, as we just spoke of it yesterday, as to how much they've appreciated your prayers and your support and your love for our family. So just wanted to say, she's here. sorry, Liz. You can get me back later. we're going to close with a favorite hymn of ours up here, anyway. Number 721, Go, my children, with my blessing. So number 721, go, my children, with my blessing. This will serve as our closing hymn and doxology.
Children, with my blessing, never alone. Waking, sleeping, I am with you. You are my own. In my life's baptismal river, I have made you mine forever. Go, my children, with my blessing, you are my own. Go, my children, sins forgiven, at peace and pure. Here you learn how much I love you, what I can cure. Story. Here you touched him, saw his glory. Go, my Savior, sins forgiven, at peace and pure.
Go,
my children, fed and nourished, closer to me. Grow in love and love by serving, joyful and free.
Hear my Spirit's power filled you.
Hear my tender comfort stilled you. Go, my children, fed and nourished, joyful and free. The Lord will bless and keep you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will smile upon you and give you peace. I, the Lord, will be your Father, Savior, Comforter, and Brother. Go, my children, I will keep you and give you peace.
Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious God and Savior. Thanks be to God.